a welcome to all this morning. This morning we're going to look at a text that's very familiar to most people who have been in Sunday school or attended church at some times during their life. It's the narrative where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Notice what we hear, or how I even said that. It's Jesus feeding the 5,000. But as we start to look through this story, we will look exactly how Jesus does this. And there's no doubt that it was through His power and through His unction that it was done, but we must also see that it was the calling of His disciples that He empowers, that He brings, that they do His work. And it is the same for us today. Because God is empowering us as His followers and His disciples to do the things that He has called us to do. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And as you are able, I would ask that you would please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them. He healed their sick, and when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy them some victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And He looked up into heaven, He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out with Jesus. "Now when Jesus had heard this, He withdrew and from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot from the towns." Now what Jesus was leaving on the boat for was because He had just heard of the beheading of John the Baptist. And so now, Jesus' cousin has just died. And Jesus, knowing what His ministry would end in, I'm sure at this point is looking both with mourning as a human, fully human, and looking forward as God to this kind of death is what He is going to face. And so He goes to be by Himself, to go and to think. And many of us enjoy times of quiet when we're able to get out and to be alone. And we kind of covet those things. And so I'm sure for most of us, the reaction that Jesus has in these next verses would not be quite the same. Because when He went ashore, when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot, and when He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, if we're taking off to go be alone, to go get our rest, to go get our heads put on straight, most of the time, the last thing in the world we would want to see is a huge crowd when we get there, especially one that's looking for us. But here's where we see the heart of God. Because Jesus looks upon that multitude, that huge crowd that's there to hear from Him, to see Him, and to hear what He has to say. And He has compassion. It is no different for us today. You see, this is who God is. This is the God that is revealed within the New Testament. A God that has compassion on human beings with all their blemishes, with all their sin, with all the stuff that we have within our lives. God has compassion upon us. And it's not just for certain ones. It's for the whole multitude of humanity. And God heals them. And from our sickness of sin, God has healed us. For Jesus Christ was willing to endure a death like John. His wasn't a beheading, but His was a beating and then being nailed to the cross and shedding His blood for our forgiveness. That is the true sign of compassion. Someone who would give up His life for sinners like us. And now we go on to see the human side of the disciples and what they're doing. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go into the villages and buy food for themselves." So now the disciples are looking at this, and they're seeing this huge crowd out there, and they're going, "Hey, you got to send these people away. They got to go get something to eat." Very human. I would be worried about the same thing. I know myself. Well, what's everybody going to eat? How are we going to get this taken care of? And Jesus answers in a way I don't think anybody would have expected. "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And this really becomes the calling. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to do. Now, most of the time, in a lot of cases, I don't always talk about this. But see, this is the thing that comes with being a Christian. We are called to do. It is not me and Jesus. It is me being filled by the person of Jesus Christ, me now dwelling in Christ, and now we as a body, you, as Jesus says here is the plural, going and taking care of things. You see, we can see all kinds of needs in this world. And most of the time what we go is, well, somebody should take care of that. Pastor Raymond was very famous for this. And I grew up for quite a few years as him as my pastor, Pastor Raymond Hillman. And people would come to him and walk into his office and say, "Hey, do you see this? This needs to be taken care of. You should do something about it." And Pastor Ray was very good, going, "Good, I'll start with you. You're head of the committee." You see, because we have all kinds of great, wonderful ideas, but many times we think somebody else should do it. And what Jesus is telling His disciples right here is, you give them something to eat. You take care of this. One of the biggest struggles within the ministry today is finding people to do. You have been empowered. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the third person of the God Almighty living within you. and you now abide in the person of Jesus Christ, you are more empowered than anything, any creature on this planet. You can do. And then you get the excuse. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here. We can't feed everybody. It's physically impossible. Yeah, it sounds like it. But we forget who we serve. Now, the disciples at this time have some excuse. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God was calling them, but yet that gift had yet to be given. And so Jesus calls and says, bring those things to me. Lay them in front of me. I'll take care of this. And he says the same things to us. These problems, bring them to me. Bring me the tools and the solutions that you have right now, and I will make sure it's taken care of. I think about this in light of something Emily said earlier. She said, thank you for the investment in me. As a middle schooler, as a junior high student, as a high school student. How do we know that those people that she touches over in China will not be some of the greatest pastors ever? That will change the face of that nation for Jesus Christ. And see, this is the thing that we have to remember. It's not in the huge miracles that things happen. It's in doing what we as individuals are called to do. Continuing to plod forward. Sometimes when we feel like we're just beating our head against the wall. Because it doesn't matter. We are being faithful in those things that God has called us to take part in and to do. And He will bless them. We don't know how sometimes. We may not even see it. It may not even be in our lifetime. I'll give you another example. There's a poster or a picture down at Camp Lottie, and it's been here before, of about a whole bunch of guys called the Camp Lottie Carpenters. Many who have gone on to their eternal reward. In fact, over half. But I tell the kids each time that they come for confirmation camp and those things, that those men who didn't even know you, and some of them before they even existed, were doing their part, were pushing forward, had a vision of ministry for people that they didn't know anything about. And this is the vision that we as the Christian church need to pick and to get a handle on. Because it'll change the world. If we realize who empowers us and what He has done for us. And so Jesus brings the fish and the loaves to Him, and He says, then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up into heaven and said a blessing. And when He broke the loaves, He gave them to His disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Jesus doesn't, poof, there's a big pile of fish and bread there. He hands them to His disciples, and one by one His disciples go out into the crowd and they give the food. And I'm sure the disciples at this point are looking at their basket at the start going, this is insane. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. But as they gave and as the people ate, God continued to multiply those blessings to the point that 5,000, and actually if you really understand this, there's probably about 10 or 12,000, 10 to 15,000 that were fed there. If you figure 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and figure one kid per couple, you're at 15,000 people. This is a much bigger miracle. And this is the thing that we now need to come to grips with. That we can participate in these miracles, that we are now called to go out and just bring the basket. Let people come and dip in and to see the blessings of the Lord. For we each have a calling. Jesus says this in the 14th chapter of John. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. I used to wonder about that. Well, how's that all work out? How can Jesus say that we're going to do greater works than him? In most of the case of this is also in the plural. Yous. He's talking about his church. He's talking about the body of Christ. We will do greater miracles because there's more of us and because he has now empowered us with that same power. The problem is we look at this as individual. Well, I can't change the world. I can't do that. I can't feed those 5,000 people. Yes, you can. One person at a time. Praying God's blessing upon the work that you have been called to do. The problem is we look at it as the multitude of issues and problems that we have in this world and go, well, I can't fix that. No, but I can deal with my neighbor. I can deal with my friend down the street. I can deal with somebody within my school who needs a friend. I can show someone love and compassion. Because we don't know where those blessings end. We don't know. It just doesn't stop with that person. When the Spirit of God now is shared and is brought to others, it multiplies. It grows to the point that it overflows. And this is the thing that we really need to come to grips with. We are called to fulfill our part. Not all of us are called to go to China. Not all of us are called to do many different things. But we are all called to do something. We've been given the imperative within the Gospels for a reason. We, as the body of believers, are to go and to serve. Is it meritorious? Absolutely not. But it's who you are. You will produce good fruit because you are a believer. You will show compassion. You will bring the gospel to people because it's who you are. You are now part of Jesus Christ. God has called us to feed not the 5,000 but the 5 billion or whatever the number of people there are on this planet. And we start one person at a time daily, putting an investment into them and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and letting them know that they are loved by God Almighty, and that they can know that their sin is forgiven in Jesus' name and shed blood. In His name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we give you thanks that indeed you continue to feed us by your word. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to work in and through us. that, Father, we don't even know the blessings that we may be causing around the world, that You would work and keep us faithful to the callings that You have for each and every one of us, that we would fulfill those things that You have called us to do. And Father, if we think we don't know, we ask Your power to remind us, to tell us, to guide us to those places that we need to be. We thank You, Father, for Your forgiveness and for Your empowerment through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will conclude our service today.